Access to number 30408, Major Bob Godfrey, Reel 3. Now, we've looked at the various sort of trainings and what you did. Now, you can't spend all... What you mentioned that you'd go sometimes if you got a bit of money into the dance or things. What were your main recreations? I mean, we think we've covered sport, so you'd play hockey. But what about when you went out? What would you do?
Literally, during the whole of my time with the 28th Training Battalion, the only occasions I left barracks on recreational pursuit were to go to a dance hall where I didn't do much dancing, really. I went with a boy from the Royal Ulster Rifles who was born and brought up and lived in Belfast. I think he introduced me to his girlfriend and another girl the odd time or two.
Now, what were these dance halls? I mean, what were they like? Because they just don't exist anymore.
No, they don't.
I mean,
well, the buildings probably do. In Belfast, the Mecca Dance Hall was a really rough place. And I can't honestly remember, but I think I probably only went a couple of times in the end.
So what would it be
on
like?
One occasion, I saw a man go for another man wielding a fire extinguisher. The police in Belfast, of course, it was amazing to me that they should all be armed, but it was also amazing to me that they had weird, strange, special helmets on and always worked in pairs and would come into the dance hall and just extract people if they were getting too drunk.
So how did it work, a dance hall? I mean, what was it? It obviously had a bar in there if they were drinking.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So they weren't teetotal ones?
No, they weren't.
Some dance halls are teetotal.
There was a band there. At least I think it wasn't. I don't remember. Honestly, it's ridiculous. It was a small part of my life. I don't really remember whether they came in drunk from the bars or whether there was a bar there.
Did you drink at all?
I didn't drink at all in Belfast, ever, no.
So it would be a live band, would it be?
Yes, it was, yeah. It's a live band.
Playing the big band sound?
That sort of thing, yes, yes. I should think it wouldn't be a big band. It would be a 10-piece band or something, with saxophones, trumpet, drums, a singer, I guess. Lots of army blokes there, lots of Ulstermen there. Probably a lot of those Ulstermen came with their girlfriends. And I guess a lot of the soldiers came to see where they could find girlfriends, you know.
That could lead to trouble, I expect.
I expect that was trouble.
But
that was
and you trouble. Just went with yeah. friends. Did you dance much? Could you dance? Had you learned to dance?
I could dance. I'd learnt to dance when I was a boy back in Wisbeach at school. I can't actually remember whether I danced or not, whether I just sat there agog at what was going on. I'm not dodging. I don't remember, really.
Would you go to the cinema at all, or was it just a dance?
The only other thing I was going to say that I went to was, with a friend, I went to see Gilbert and Sullivan Mikado in the Opera House in Belfast. I happened to like Gilbert and Sullivan, even in those early days and young days. And I was asked if I'd like, you know, they gave free tickets out to the blokes. And I went and watched that and loved it. We were picked up and dropped off by some elderly ladies or something who were running the sort of charitable side of it. So that was the only other thing. Otherwise, every night we sat cleaning, ironing, organising, sitting on our beds and talking.
Now, how did you get on with the other lads? You know, you were all potential officers, or at least potential NCOs.
Potential NCOs or officers, yeah.
What sort of backgrounds were they from? How did you get on with them?
I think I got on very well with them. A chap in my next bed became a general, John Akehurst, who sadly is dead now. He was a colonel of the Royal Anglian Regiment in the end, and also a deputy sacker at one stage. I went to his home. He was a public school educated boy. We got on very, very well.
Did he stand out as a soldier, as a recruit? Because it's quite funny to see a general in that, you know, when he
recruit. Not especially, no. No, he was just a pleasant young man, I think. He grew in maturity. maturity. I didn't see much of him after we were commissioned, in fact. A lot of people, my first introduction to public school boys. And so that I found quite fascinating.
In what way?
Well, I mean, they were different. They were so confident, and they all had lots of cash, and they were all getting away for odd weekends or on the Saturday night, getting a Saturday night pass and going off to stay with uncles and aunts somewhere out in the country.
Were most of them public school?
I mean, no, they weren't. No, that's not correct. I mean, if I could guess, bearing in mind that a lot of the blokes recruited to go there were selected as potential NCOs as well, I should think 50% of the intake would have been potential officers and 50% potential NCOs. Of the potential officers, I would think that 60 to 70% at that stage were public school boys, and so the rest of us were grammar school boys.
That's quite a high proportion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that was to be even more so by the time I finished up at Sandhurst.
Did you get, so you got on well generally with them, and no bullying within the group, I would presume, or was there?
No. I honestly do not remember any bullying at all, no.
Now, what about the instructors? Because this is quite an important training battalion that you're in.
Oh, it was, yeah.
What were the instructors like? How good were they?
We didn't see much of the officers. They appeared on the parade grounds. They gave occasional lectures, I think, on things that had happened during the war. I can't remember exactly, but we were in the hands of our section corporal and our platoon sergeant, as it were, training instructors. Each section would have a corporal, and the sergeant would oversee the three corporals, as far as I recall.
Now, what were they like? What were their methods
they
like?
They were all, they'd all had war experience. They were very reasonable, very moderate, very moderate in their manner to us. They could get angry if they thought we were doing something really stupid or letting the side down. I.e., in other words, not turning out smartly if when the occasion demanded it. There was only one NCO who everyone went in fear and trembling of, and that was the Prevost Sergeant in the guard room. Sergeant Epps, I recall his name, E-double-P-S. And he was an absolute fiend. Whether he was a masochist, I don't know. I fortunately never fell foul of him, but many did.
In what way was he a fiend? Tell me about it.
Well, he was, drilling to the stage. He had the reputation, probably wrongly. I think we all built it up in our minds of what he might have been. But he had the reputation of being a bully. Not a bully that would hit you, but a bully who would drill you into the ground in the guardroom situation and parades and inspections and so on. And he would always check you. We used to go out in fear and trembling. He would check to see whether you were properly dressed and fit to leave. Because, of course, I didn't mention earlier on that when we got our uniforms, we were all given brown paper to wrap up our civilian clothes to send them home. So we were all uniform or nothing. But my fading memory of those days, and we're talking about a long time ago, is that there was nothing untoward about any of our NCOs, and that the officers were perfectly affable. I think, in all cases, probably counting the days, days to do charts before they could get out, leave the army and go back to their professions.
Now,
all different regiments.
Now, how long were you doing your basic training before you did your passing out parade? You went there in September.
Yep. I went there in September, and I passed out, I think, in January. I would guess, yes, I passed out
in
January.
So you were there over Christmas?
Yes. In fact, we all had 4 days off at Christmas, and I went with a friend on a train to Dublin. and for the first time was able to buy Cadbury's milk tray chocolate without a ration card in the street in the shops of Dublin.
What do you remember? I mean, that's a you didn't go home then. You went to Dublin.
What was it like in Dublin? You know, Christmas period.
What did you do in Dublin?
I just wandered about, went and looked at the Liffey and looked just wandered around.
In uniform?
Yes, in uniform.
That's what I mean, you see.
Yes, it was in uniform, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And we weren't threatened in any way whatsoever.
No reaction at all?
No, none.
Now, tell me about the passing out parade. I presume there was one.
There was a passing out parade, I think, as I recall, about the end of January. I should say that...
What did it consist of? How big a do, if you like, was it?
It would have been two companies worth of us, I should think. 120. I should think best part of 200 fellas partying out.
Was it a special drill parade? You know, I mean, how much of fuss was made of it?
It was very important. It was very important. And we were inspected by the commanding officer, whom we'd really not seen before at all during the whole of our training. Or we might have seen him go into his office or leave his office. But we were inspected by him and addressed by him and told to go out and make a good show of our careers and so on in the army.
And what was going to happen to you? I mean, had you been assessed and, you know, were you a potential officer still?
At that stage, I had been selected to come back to Northern Ireland after the passing out leave to go to a continuation unit where I would be prepared there for going to the War Office Selection Board to get first of all an emergency commission, and if I passed that to go on to the regular commissions board.
Now, what was this unit called?
It was the continuation training company of 28th Training Battalion.
Same thing.
Same battalion. Yeah, it was where the potential officers were weeded out. The NCOs by that stage would have gone off to their various regimental depots.
Now, what do you remember about the continuation train? Now, this is always not much because it's just a continuation.
This is the first time we actually were made to get on our feet and start talking. We had to be able to present lectures or whatever, you know. We were given short 5-minute talks, the sort that we would have to do when we went to the War Office Selection Board or the regular commissions board.
So how did they train you in that? I mean, what did they actually tell you what they're looking for in lectures? Or you just let them sink or swim?
I'm sure they did. No, I think, I don't remember, but if I were doing it now, I think they probably said, look, we're going to get you to talk about a subject of your own choice for 5 minutes. What you've got to do is think of some of the aspects of what you would need to say. Think of some of the ways that you would express these things. And you'll find that you're still going on well after 5 minutes. Not much more than that. And then we all faltered through. I think the public school boy is faltering much less than the grammar school boy.
Anything else special, you know, in this continuation company?
We learnt that if you carried a bucket around with you, an empty bucket around with you, nobody ever queried you. I know that's a standard old joke, but it did actually work there. Because all you were doing, really, was marking time for the moment you were sent off to take your War Office Selection Board. They gave us lectures. As I say, we did lots of sport. Didn't think we did any military training as such at that stage.
Now, how long were you there for, then? You were there in the continuation training company from January 48 to...
January 48. Actually, probably February 48. I can't remember how long a leave. It's quite interesting, but... I came back. No, it was, I think, January 48. I just don't recall. But I was there. I then went. I can't remember where it was now. I know where the RCB was. I can't remember where the War Office Selection Board was. You're familiar with those two expressions.
Well, if you could explain explain what you did, and that'll explain it. When did you go for that then? Was that in February or?
It would have been February or March. I went for the War Office Selection Board.
And that was back in England, was
and
it?
That was back in England. And I went with several others. And I took the War Office Selection Board.
Now, what can you explain to people what it was? Because they don't, you know, they don't understand.
Well, War Office Selection Board is aiming to try and elicit what quality of leadership a given individual might have without any test of specific concrete knowledge. So, first of all, they will want you to talk and give a 5-minute lecturette to see if you can stand up and speak reasonably comfortably. They will then want you to demonstrate your physical ability by doing assault courses. They will then want you to undertake with groups of 3 or 4 or 6 of you tests devised to carry telegraph poles across rivers and get all of you get across.
What they call command tests now, I think.
Yes, I think that's right, yeah. So these, there were a set of these tests that ran through about 3 days, I suppose.
Now, how did you do at things like this? You know, the lecture, the command tests, the rest of it.
Well, I think with great difficulty I did adequately, because indeed at the end I was called in by the colonel supervising our set and told that I had passed. And so that my next stage was to go to Eton Hall Officer Cadet School, which is just outside Chester.
Now, when did you go there then?
I have to look back and say that I went to Sandhurst in August 48, but there are several jumps as yet. I probably took the War Office Selection Board in, I suppose, February or March. I then, within a month of that, I was whisked across to Eton Hall near Chester, and I stayed at Eton Hall for, I suppose, anything between 1 month and 2 months, in which time I went to Westbury in Wiltshire to do the regular commissions board. Which was really...
Now, hang on. I don't want you to go on to say what that was, because we haven't done Eton Hall yet. So you think you were at Eton Hall from sort of March 48 to...
March, April, maybe May.
To May. That's roughly... Now, what was it called, the unit there? It was an officer's cadet training unit.
It was officer cadet training.
Did it have
unit?
A... But
OCTU. I don't remember whether it had a number. It was an OCTU. And it was, it's a well-known one. Anybody could find this out for if they wished.
We can look it up, or they can look
they
it
can
up.
Look
if
it
we
up
don't
easily,
manage it.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, so you went there. Now, what was the organisation of the OCTU? How was the sort of the school, if you like? How was the training unit organised?
It was organised. The aim of that unit was to train potential officers to become national service officers. So that they would go for the rest of their national service period, they would gain a commission and go to a unit. This was an infantry officer cadet unit. Should have added that, I suppose. And so I can't recall how many companies there were, but there were, anyway, 5 or 6 companies at various stages going through the training to produce young national service officers in the infantry. Those of us that were already selected as being potential wishing to take a regular commission board were sort of sidelined slightly into a separate set of people, and we did some usually sort of PT. It was sort of marking time until the moment came when we went down to Westbury in Wiltshire to do the regular commissions board. So we weren't part of a normal company training to become national service officers. Had we failed the RCB, we had already passed the War Office Selection Board, so we would have gone back to Eton Hall and would have completed a proper training for young National Service officers and become National Service officers.
Now, but you marked time.
I marked
and
time
then what happened when you went to the regular?
The regular regular commissions board was a rehash of the War Office Selection Board. All the same things happened.
Where was that held? Do you remember where
that was? That was definitely in Westbury. It's still there to this day, Westbury in Wiltshire.
And any difference at all?
No, I don't think so. No, I couldn't honestly even make a judgment on the sort of my contemporaries that went there as opposed to went to the War Office. Like, I don't think there was much difference at all. They were, of course, looking more intently, and I think they were, I can't recall what the pass rate was, but I know that a lot of young men went away failing the regular commission board. And I managed to pass. I was told that I was not sufficiently outgoing and extrovert. This is me being what I am, a grammar school boy again, not sure of his ground really, through lack of experience in life, I guess. But I passed. And I was told that because I had not done very well in that original examination for entry to Sandhurst, which I took at school, that I would have to undergo some educational training prior to entry to Sandhurst in August 1948.
Now, would that be done at Eton Hall?
No, it was not. We were sent down to Mons Officer Cadet School, where they now had constructed a wing which was specifically designed. It was full of education corps instructors.
Now, is Mons, is that at Aldershot? Or
Aldershot, yes, correct.
And you went there in May-ish?
Well, probably later than that by now, quite honestly. I'm not sure of the months of that transition.
It's all right.
In 48, except to know that I went to Sandhurst in what was known as Intake 4, post-war Intake 4, in August 1948.
Now, what were you doing at Mons Officer Cadet School then? Tell me about this educational training.
Writing essays. Doing mathematics and some French. And funnily enough, that I could also have started to learn Russian, but I didn't at that stage. That came later in my career. And I think it was maths, French, and English, effectively. It was not, I wouldn't call that a very high-powered course. Quite honestly.
Do you think it helped you?
I think it did help. It helped. It was gradual preparation. I was meeting all these characters with whom I was going to be at Sandhurst and so on. And I think, yes, it was very good. It was letting me down gently for what I was to experience in the next 18 months at Sandhurst.
And did you, there was no military training as such, it was just educational?
I think we had drill a couple of times a week. I can remember, yes, we had an RSM in the Scots Guards, was the RSM of Mons. And his pet theme, which caught us out, as it caught out everybody in turn, was to demonstrate commands from across the square. And he had a rifle. And he did his rifle drill in the mirror image. In other words, when he shouldered his arms, it was on his right arm as opposed to his left arm. And none of us noticed it. And so he was rather scathing at that. It was his pet thing. And that was followed by some leave again and then going to Sandhurst in August. I must say we've got an awful long way to go with this. Sorry.
Now tell me what happened when you went to the Royal Military Academy Sandhurst as it
yes,
was?
Yes, yes. I joined some company and we divided our time for the whole 18 months between academic subjects and military subjects. We left the precincts of Sandhurst, I think, once during the whole 18 months. and that was to attend a platoon camp. There was no tactical training whatsoever. On the military side.
Hang on, let's sort out. That's the nature of the course. What was the setup? I mean, what were your accommodation like, and how were you organised?
Right.
In the Somme company, which were you in the Victory? Is it Victory Barracks?
Yeah,
or
Victory College.
Old
College, New College, and Victory College.
And which were you in?
I was in New College. Old College was the original grey 18th century building. New College was, I suppose, built Edwardian, I suppose, just after.
And what were your rooms like? Did you have to share, or did you have your own?
Well, in the first instance, because we were running 3.5 intakes at the time, because they took in intake 1, then they took in intake 1A 3 months later, and then they took in intake 2 3 months later, then intake 3, then intake 4. The place was bursting at the seams. We had 1,000 cadets, believe it or not. Even at the end, when we'd got rid of that extra intake, 1A, there were 3 intakes of about 300 odd, which is enormous. And we were living in huts, Nissen huts, behind New College for the first term. And then we graduated into the main building as the old ones went.
So the first huts were much...
We all had a room to ourselves.
Even in the huts?
Even in the huts, yes. Something I'd not experienced in the army so far was to get my own room. I even took back my own little radio and all sorts of exciting things, you know. Very
now,
good.
What about the people running it? The NCOs are meant to be quite characters, so, you know, that run they effectively run that. I know there's a company commander, but the senior NCO figures are quite characters.
Yes, the senior NCO figures, I mean, on the drill side, they're all brigade of guards. On the sort of weapon training, rifle shooting side, they were selected senior NCO sergeants from infantry regiments, generally infantry regiments, not alone, they were... a wide selection of regiments. They were characters. I mean, in fact, the way I painted my activities at 28th Training Battalion, this is now quite the reverse once one gets to Sandhurst. At Sandhurst, it was the officers that did the work on the military side. They did all the lectures, all the supervision of seminars, and so on. Mainly, I think, because the whole of the course was geared to teach us how to run divisions and not platoons. It is extraordinary. Am I allowed to digress chronologically?
Yeah.
I went back after I left the army and got a degree. I went back to Sandhurst for 9 years as a civilian lecturer, and I was able to see what the courses were like for the military aspect of cadets at that stage. It was geared solely to making good platoon commanders. In my day, it seemed to be geared to making very good major generals. And we all of us, I think, generally laughed about it. We all knew how to organise divisions and how to set up ordnance field parks and amazing things, how to withdraw a division, how to advance to contact with a division.
Which is all irrelevant to a second lieutenant.
Well, yeah. Yes, really. I mean, in general terms... But there should have been much more emphasis, and we all thought it at the time, you know, on life at the lower end of the commission scale.